Hello again. This is Mark at Preparing for End Times. And today I have a very important guest, Dr. Jonathan Hansen at World Ministries International. He's the president there. And worldministries.org is where you can reach him online in Eagle Saving Nations. And so, Pastor Hansen, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing great, Mark. How about you?
Doing great. Everything's good. You know, just been blessed. A little raining out here, but it's just been for a day. But this shall pass too.
Okay.
So I just wanted to introduce everybody to you, Pastor. I know we've known each other for over 20 years, I believe.
Yes, that's right.
And one of the first times when I first heard of your ministry and from the AM radio in Portland, Oregon. And on that radio, you have one on your website, the prophecy that you gave about the Twin Towers. What year was that?
Well, that was now you're talking about the Twin Towers, not 9/11.
Yes, 9/11. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. It was 9/11, September. And I was in New York City. I prophesied for 5 days on New York television. But then, 6 months later, approximately, 9/11 happened.
Wow.
And I remember that then I was on Countdown, which is a syndicated radio show, and they had heard about the prophecy when I prophesied it, again, 5 days on New York television. And so then they had me on this syndicated talk show, and it was actually when they were going to go into the Crystal Cathedral to pray, and that's the movie stars, the all religions, the politicians, and they asked me, what do I think about this prayer? And I said, because I'd waited on God during the night, and the Lord said, this is going to be the prayer of blasphemy. And so I told him, it's a prayer of blasphemy. And they said, what do you mean the prayer of blasphemy? All of these religions and the movie stars and the politicians are praying. I said, yes, but there's no repentance. And what God are they praying for? They're not repenting for their X-rated movies. The politicians aren't repenting for trying to divide America. Some of them are pushing pure communism, as they're doing right now, trying to topple the republic. And what gods are they praying to? You had all religions, Islam, everything. And I said, it's a prayer of blasphemy. And the Lord said, now 1,000 times more people that died at 9/11 are going to die before you see really a national revival, a great awakening. So, Mark, we're going to have millions of people dead before this thing is over, before you see really America turn to God. Yes, you're going to have pockets of revival. We sing pockets of revival. But, you know, you go into a place and the remnant is there and the pastor's on fire as far as he's preaching the gospel with power and authority and the full gospel, not denying the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But and so in that area, in that church, you can see revival, so to speak. But for a nation to turn to Jesus Christ, you're going to see millions of people dead before that happens. I wrote a book called The Science of Judgment, The Rise and Fall of Nations, and The Cup of Iniquity Principle. They could order that book at my office, 360-629-5248, 360-629-5248, 360-629-5248. I know you asked me how your people can receive my news articles.
I
just sent out one. You might have got it, Mark. God and Politics. You know, a Christian's responsibility in politics. What is it? Well, we'll send it to you. Again, 360-629-5248. Or my website, worldministries.org. That's worldministries.org. Once again, worldministries.org. And they can give either 360-629-5248, every credit card. They can give by Zelle, warning@worldministries.org. That's the reference number, warning@worldministries.org, to give by Zelle, or they can give by PayPal. But on our website, they could see us 7 days a week. We're on radio and television. And like you said, thousands of articles. My trips internationally, I just came back from Kenya. Oh, you know, I move apostolically and prophetically. That's what I do. And I get a word from God. Office of a prophet, I send it. The government receives it. It comes to pass. They invite me. Then I'm in the parliament. And as I mentioned, an example in the parliament, if God starts to talk further in a word of knowledge, which is knowledge you wouldn't have unless God gave it to you, so it's his knowledge. In one government, God showed sins of murder. And I looked at a member of parliament, sir, you're guilty of murder. You shot a man in the head. So this is the living God. This is how I move and operate. I move through the power of God, through the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And half of the church today, Mark, rejects the baptism of the Holy Spirit. These are the churches under the Federal Council of Churches, mainline churches. Federal Council of Churches is a Marxist communist covering. They flat out reject the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They ordain homosexuals. They bring drag queens in. I mean, they nullify sin. So half of the churches reject the power of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you know, Mark, Jesus told his disciples when he ascended, don't even try to represent me until you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Don't even try it. And yet half the church rejects. You know, when you reject the Holy Spirit, let's define it a little bit. I just did an article on who is the Holy Spirit. I just spoke on it at the Holy Ghost conference, five-day conference. But if you reject the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy, you're actually rejecting God, because God is three in one. Three persons in one Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You reject the Holy Ghost, you are rejecting God himself. And how do you know God? The Holy Ghost is the one that brings conviction and direction and guidance and comfort, revelation. How do you know God if you reject God?
Amen. Pastor, why do you think that so many denominations in the churches are just not spirit-led? And they reject that, what you're talking about. Why do you feel it so bad among our nation?
Well, I believe that a lot of churches, they're led by denominations. And you know, I'm not against a denomination unless they've twisted the word of God and made their own theology. Sometimes Amen. Denominations are, you could say, demonizations, led by doctrines of demons. They've nullified the word of God, like the mainline churches have. And years ago, when God put me into full-time ministry, it's after myself being led by my pride, selfishness. I wouldn't forgive a man that had done a serious crime against my first wife that you could have executed him for. But it took me 5 years to forgive. Well, the reality, the Bible says, if you don't forgive, I don't forgive you. I will not forgive you. And so I lost my peace. I lost my joy. You know, doctors talk about these emotions, psychosomatic diseases that the Bible deals with that some doctors say are the fault for 100% of your diseases, like cancer. And so there are serious problems if you don't deal with your emotions. And hatred is one of them, unforgiveness. And so anyway, I lost my peace, I lost my joy, I lost my anointing. There's what they call a chemical balance in the mind. If you hate somebody long enough, which if you will not forgive, you can go into depression, you can go into clinical depression. You can have a spirit of murder, suicide grip you. But anyway, I was so miserable, I asked God to forgive me. I just cried and cried, left a puddle of tears, and then the Lord will forgive you. He says that he will. But then he said, leave your gift at the altar and make it right. Okay, I knew what he meant. Now, faith is not going by feelings or emotions. Faith is going by the word of God, whether it's the written word of God or the spirit of God that speaks to you. So I knew what he wanted me to do. I didn't feel like it. My emotions hadn't changed, even though I asked God to forgive me. But I talked myself into faith. Get up, drive, get out, knock. He opened the door. I said, I've hated you. Will you forgive me? Now, as soon as I obeyed God by faith, that spirit of hatred broke, and I loved that man like a brother till I died. Wow. So I'm not going to go through the whole story, how then I repented to the church where I was a lay pastor, this and that. Said, you know, some of you have called me pastor, but I've been a hypocrite. I've asked God to forgive me. I asked a man to forgive me, and I want you to forgive me. Now try to follow me as I follow Christ. That night I had my first revelation, my first nighttime vision, supernatural dream.
And I saw year was that?
That was clear back in 1985.
Wow.
I saw myself traveling the nations, meeting with the people I meet with today, the presidents, prime ministers, governments, parliaments. I saw myself speaking to the masses. I saw apocalyptic events. I saw death lines. I saw God's heart, and it was broken. And I said, God, why is your heart broken? And he said, my church is in love with the world more than me. And I said, why, God? And he said, because of the pastor behind the pulpit. I came out of that dream sweating. I started resigning from areas of responsibility in business, in law enforcement. And I started, again, traveling the nations, warning the church to wake up. You're not ready for the return of Jesus Christ. It was like a John the Baptist Elijah ministry. Go ahead.
I need to make a point because you just said something that, you know, I think, you know, very powerful with what you went through. And I think before you go any further, I just have to bring it because there's got to be other people out there that have hatred, or they might have, you know, been cheated on or something like that. It doesn't matter what it is. It could have been a father that abused them or hurt them. It doesn't matter. But that you, as a pastor, first, you went through something of unforgiveness. And a lot of people out there right now, Pastor, are in that same state. But what I want them to know right now, and I really feel this is the Holy Ghost, is that as soon as you asked the Lord to forgive you and you forgave that person, your ministry, you started having visions and dreams and all of this stuff. And now, you're worldwide. You go all over the world. And there's so many people out there right now that have, because Satan has come in and you know, basically punching them all over the place, that ministry that needs to go worldwide is completely just, you know, been smushed. And I just feel that if they will listen to what you just said, that to let go, be free. Wouldn't you say that, Pastor?
Well, you have to deny yourself. The Bible says that God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. And so I couldn't be used by God because I was in the way. I had too much of self in the way. Mm-hmm. And we need to get out of the way and let God have his way. Now, Watchman Nee talked about the death of the man. We have to allow our man, our carnal man, to die so Christ can live through us. And I had to get out of the way, Mark, because pride stops the flow of the Holy Spirit. So if you have too much self, you can't be used much of God because you are in the way. And so, you know, there's a big problem with man trying to lead himself. And half of the church denies God himself, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Again, the third person of the Trinity. You know, the Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not a force. It's not a second-class citizen. It is God from the beginning. And if you deny God, how is God going to use you? How is he really going to convict you? I guess he doesn't, because you're ordaining homosexuals as priests. You're bringing drag queens into the church. You're backing abortion. So you can see that half of the church, Mark, is sick and ripe for judgment.
Well, it's kind of scary in one sense. Not that I have fear of anything, but it's scary. You know, my daughter just went to a Christian concert a couple years ago in Atlanta, Georgia, from Tennessee with some of her other friends. And she said one of the things that just kind of blew them away was as they were driving through Atlanta, these big churches had rainbow flags on their doors saying everyone is welcome. And, you know, she was just like, and they have some other statements. I'm not going to make them up because I can't remember them. But, you know, again, the Bible says you know, we can love the people, but we have to hate that sin. And we can't hate that sin if we're accepting them in their sin, right?
Well, totally, Mark. I mean, four sins bring judgment on a nation: idolatry, immorality, killing the innocent, and dividing the land of Israel. Now, Jesus loved the sinner. He hated the sin. He ate with a sinner so he could witness to them. He didn't become part of sin, and he chastised or exposed sin to the sinner. No, you have seven wives. Jesus did not tolerate sin. You have seven husbands. Whether it was man or woman, he exposed the sin in them. Again, he did it in love. We're supposed to love people but hate sin, because sin separates a person from God. When a person is living in this type of sin, God is not inside of them. I mean, not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we need to understand that sin separates you from God. It separates you from the blessing of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God. If you continue in sin, so grace may abound, it separates you eternally from God.
Amen. You know, what state do you feel that our church is in today? And do you feel that they're ready if... When this stuff starts to happen, do you feel that our church is ready?
The church right now is pathetically carnal. Like I said, half of the churches deny the baptism, flat out deny it, and they're involved in every sin of abomination. They're against Israel. Half of the churches are, the mainline churches are fighting God. Now, the other half, where their people have primarily gone to public schools and high schools that are public, universities that are anti-Christ, they're teaching an agenda against God. They think evolution is the religion of the day. They're backing New World citizenship. They're teaching alternate lifestyles. And so when kids maybe only go to church 1 hour a week, but yet they're in school 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, where do you think their value system is going to come from? And so even though the other half of the church, maybe the statement of faith is good, yet many people attending the church, they back sins of abomination. They back alternate lifestyles. They see nothing wrong with what Hamas did, which is a terrorist organization to kill every Jew from Israel off the face of the earth and then every Christian. And yet, how can so-called Christians back Hamas and come against Israel? I mean, Mark, we are pathetically sick. We're dysfunctional.
We are so dysfunctional. You know, and today, you know, I know a lot of prophets have prophesied that President Trump would be elected two terms, and they didn't say there would be an order. They just said two terms. And how do you feel about that? Do you feel that that is a right on prophetic word? Or has God shown you anything about what's about to happen in this next election?
Well, let's look at this this way. I'm not going to say it's a prophetic word, all authoritative, but I, studying the scriptures, I do believe Donald Trump is a modern day Jeroboam II, and I do believe that he will become president, and that's if he's Jeroboam II. I just wrote an article on Donald Trump and prophecy, according to the Word of God. I also wrote an article on the plumb line. I'll tell you what, we are at our last point of warning, of mercy. If we don't have a great awakening, let me tell you, the republic will fall, judgment will come down. We will never be the same country ever again. Millions of people are going to die, and through that, there's going to be a great awakening. Just like in Israel, all the way through the Bible, every time they went into apostasy, they went into slavery, and after crying and weeping, sometimes 400 years, God brought them out again, and there was a revival. So this happened every single time. It didn't matter who stood in the gap. You say, I'm standing in the gap. It doesn't matter if you stand in the gap. Unless there's repentance, millions are going to die. This country is going to come under judgment. Donald Trump will spare the republic, save the republic just a short time, and if the church will rise up and take that time to lead a revival. But if not, judgments coming down, and millions are going to die. Now, since April 2020, Mark, I've had 25 dreams. Civil unrest. We have certainly seen it. Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Hamas, civil war. All my sources say we're on the verge of bullets flying. We're so close. And an invasion. 10 to 15 million illegal aliens. 600,000 army-aged Chinese. Syrians, Hezbollah, Hamas, Russians, South and Central Americans, cartels. They are crossing the border. And just like you saw out of nowhere, October 7, 2023, blood flowed through Israel. You're going to see blood out of nowhere flowing in America. Mark?
That is unbelievable. So, and I know your stance on this, but, you know, why is it so hard for people to believe that we will go through tribulation?
Well, it's a false theory that recently was taught. It was never taught through the ages, never believed. But, you know, Americans always want a McDonald's theology. They want instant hamburgers. They don't want to face persecution. They don't want to deny themselves. They don't want to glorify with God in his suffering. They don't want any of that. Anything goes wrong and they criticize. So because, again, Americans, the Christians in America, their faith is so weak and they've been taught a polluted gospel, a motivational gospel, that they basically are their own little God, and God wants to bless them, and everything is to bless you. And you could sit in a church, be living in open adultery, never be convicted because the pastor doesn't preach on sin. We got church, huge churches out there that do just that. They don't touch on sin. If you had a pastor coming in there like me, you could probably have 90% of the congregation walking up for salvation. But we're in serious trouble because of the pastor behind the pulpit who is more in love with himself than in love with Jesus Christ. And that's what the Lord showed me clear back in 1985. And it bears witness, 12% right now, the latest statistics, 12% of youth pastors have a biblical worldview. 12%. Wow. What's the other 88% that are teaching our youth? What view do they have? Alternate lifestyle, what they're being taught in public schools and universities?
Well, that's, you know, and again, that's how I always had that kind of thing against a lot of these Bible colleges, because these people come out and, you know, they hammer them with the word, but, you know, they're not spirit-led. They have no fruit. And they come out here and they want to, you know, they feel like they're going to do the right thing, but how easily are they conformed to the world?
Well, again, if you deny the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I mean, like I said, 5 days in a conference on who the Holy Spirit is, you know, we could go into that by hours right now. He's our comforter. He's our convictor. He gives guidance. He gives revelation. He makes known the future. If you deny God in you, basically that's what it is. Jesus told his disciples, hey, don't try to represent me. Go tarry until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Don't even try to represent me. You can't do it. You'll fail. You don't have the power. You don't have the authority. You don't have the boldness. Don't do it. You know, Peter did it before the crucifixion, and he lied, he ran, he hid, because Peter was a coward, and he operated in carnality, and that's the way the majority of the church today operates in carnality, and they compromise with sin instead of leading repentance.
Well, I would like you real quick, because we got about 2 minutes left, if you could pray, because this whole conversation has been about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you could pray real quick for those that would be able to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then again, cover it with your where people can reach you.
Okay. Once again, I just finished an article on who is the Holy Spirit. It covers what I'm talking about and so much more that we didn't have time to discuss. You can telephone 360-629-5248, 360-629-5248. Once again, 360-629-5248, and tell them you want to be put on my pastoral articles. They'll send it to you free every month. Twice a month, they'll send it to you absolutely free. You can also give any credit card. We need it to continue to reach the world for Jesus Christ. As I told you, Mark, I just came back from Kenya. 4 huge meetings. Then I was with the vice president, the ambassador to from Israel to Kenya, and the American ambassador, the mayor, and daily leaders, as well as helping widows and orphans and people in need. But again, all of that is the Holy Spirit. All of that is the Holy Ghost giving revelation, Amen. A prophecy to Kenya that's constantly coming to pass, and that's why I go. Again, my website, worldministries.org, worldministries.org, worldministries.org. You can again give by Zelle. The reference, warning at worldministries.org. That's warning at worldministries.org or PayPal. You can see my articles there. You can see us on radio and television 7 days a week and so much more. Our mission trips, everything. Now, if you want to write a check, address it to WMI. WMI, put on the check, and then send it to P.O. Box 277 Stanwood, Washington, 98292. That's P.O. Box 277 Stanwood, Washington, 98292. P.O. Box 277 Stanwood, Washington, 98292. 292. Eagle Saving Nations, we got to get into the stadiums, and we want, again, the power of God, Pentecost, to come down. I want Christians into the stadiums in every state, in every stadium in the world, as I travel the nations, and I'm pushing it for in Bogota when I travel next week. Now, Father God, fill your people up with your power, with your authority. They must submit to you. They must desire, covet, tarry, chase the Holy Spirit. You will fill them with a baptism if they want it. Let them desire it, and then let them start to move in your power and your authority. Let them move with your Spirit. You can speak to them. You can give them revelation and dreams. You can warn them how to prepare for the future, because trouble is coming. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Pastor. Well, thank you so much for coming on to Preparing for End Times. And, we just pray God's protecting arm over you, and his angels encamp around you everywhere you go, every single day, and just make a way for you, then everything is going to be so easy. So thank you again, and till the next time, I'll talk to you again. Thank you, Pastor.
God bless you, Mark.
All right, bye.